If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 22. I'm going to use a very, very familiar passage of Scripture this morning, kind of as a predecessor to our baby dedication service, but I think it would apply not just to that, but to the baptism and to everything that's going on here today. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. I'm sure if you have been exposed to the Bible any at all in your life or been exposed to Christian people, you've probably heard this verse quoted at least a few times in your life. It simply says this: train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, I think you can find that principle scattered all throughout God's Word, but that's just kind of one verse that pulls it all together and summarizes it for us. And we have baby dedication today, and this morning we have five sets of parents that will be dedicating six children to the Lord. And I'm grateful for that. I said it a few weeks ago, and I say it again. I have heard a lot of churches through the years that I have been in or talked to the pastors or even the church members who say, I wish we had some young people. And I am beyond grateful that in the 24 years that I have been at Zion Hill, we have never had to say, I wish we had some young people. We've been blessed. We've been blessed. I think part of the greatest reward of my longevity in ministry here is the fact that I'm seeing the children that were, I mean, 3, 4, 5, 6-year-old kids, and even younger when I came here. In fact, I was talking to Charlton a couple weeks ago. I guess I'm the only pastor he ever knew. He was born right after I got here. And so, and that's, it thrills me to know that we have children that were raised up in this church that are still here and that are raising their families in this church. There are a lot of folks that are here this morning that have made the commitment that some of these parents are going to make. Some of these parents that have already dedicated other children are coming back to dedicate these children. We have a lot of folks here that have gone through this service, this ceremony, and I'm sure we'll have many more that'll do so soon. Parenthood is a one-chance opportunity. You get one chance. And I think most of the parents that are here this morning that have raised their children will readily say it's an opportunity that doesn't last very long. Now, I know when you're in those years of raising children, it may seem like a long span of time, but trust me, when you look back over that period of time, you'll think, wow, where did it go? Where did it go? It's like one day they're in diapers and the next day they're walking across the stage to receive a diploma. And we realize that we have a very short span of time. When you think about our lifespan, we have a very short window of opportunity to be an influence on them. And nobody really, no parent, I don't believe, ever wants to look back at their life and have regret. Nobody wants to look back and say, man, I wish I had done better. I wish I had done different. But the truth of the matter is, all of us will probably look back and see some things that we wish we had changed. And I say that for me. I wish I had done a better job in many areas, but I think we've got to put forth the effort to do the best that we can do, because even when you've done all that you can do, kids still make poor choices. They still turn off on the wrong path. Listen to me, I can't think of anything my parents did wrong. I was literally raised in the church. From the time I was old enough to be toted into those doors, we were there every time the doors were open for any function that was there. I made some horrible choices and took some paths far away from God. So even when you do the best that you can do, kids will still make poor choices and sometimes travel down wrong paths. I was reading some Barna statistics, and if you don't want to get depressed, don't read what Barna has to say, because he'll depress you. But he is a Christian pollster. He goes around our country and does polls about the spiritual condition of our nation. And Barna said that 61% of the 20-year-olds in our culture today that were in church as teens are now spiritually disengaged. 61% of the 20-year-olds in our society that were in church as teenagers have pulled away from the church and are now spiritually disengaged. He said only 20% of them have maintained a level of spirituality that's consistent with what they had during their teenage years. Only 2 out of the 10 have maintained the level of consistency that they had as teenagers. 19% were never reached. 19% of the 20-year-olds were never reached by a church community, and they're still unreached. So that means 80%, and this staggers me, this means 80% of our nation's 20-year-olds have no vibrant spiritual life and have no vibrant spiritual values to shape their choices. Now that's scary. And that tells you a lot about why we are where we're at as a nation today. When you have these young up-and-comers that are just reaching the voting age and just reaching the age where they begin to make a real impact and influence on our society in roles of leadership, they have no significant spiritual underpinnings to guide them. And the parents that have had no spiritual life or have had inconsistent or hypocritical spiritual lives bear at least some responsibility for that. One of the saddest, darkest times of Israel's history is the book of Judges. I challenge you to go read that book sometimes. It's a hard read because Israel got far, far, far away from the God who called them and chose them, and they suffered some awful consequences for that. But there's one verse right at the beginning of the book of Judges that tells us what happened that sent them spiraling out of control as they did. And it just simply says that after Joshua and Caleb and that generation died in Judges 2:10, that verse ends with this: "There arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel." Now, when you talk about another generation that didn't know the Lord or what he had done for Israel, you can't blame that on the generation that didn't know. You got to blame that on the generation that didn't tell, that didn't show, that didn't pass along the baton effectively, that didn't guide the way to truth. Now, if you get all the way to the end of the book of Judges, here is the synopsis of that period of history. Every man did what was right in his own eyes. And that is a nation that's adrift. That's a nation that has no moral compass, that has no moral foundation. And if you see what it looked like towards the end of the book of Judges, it was horrific. The immorality and the violence and the things that were going on. That's what happens when a generation arises that doesn't know the Lord or his works or his plan or his will for their lives. And so this is the title of my message this morning. Everybody is homeschooling. Everybody is homeschooling. We're all training up our children. The question is not whether or not we're training them. It is how we're training them, where we're sending them to. What are we teaching them? How are we instructing them? And I know that as Christian parents, as people who profess Christ as our personal Savior, we all, when our grown children begin to take tracks that are outside of the will and counsel of God, and we don't like the direction they're taking, when we have grown children that begin to move away from Christ, we often run to the promise of Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, as a refuge for us. Train up a child in the way he should go when he's old. We latch onto that promise. I did the best I could, and I'm just believing that God is going to bring them back one day. And I'll tell you, I want to claim that promise. I want you to claim that promise. But we can't claim the promise if we don't meet that provision. We can't latch onto that promise that God will bring them back if we fail to train them up in the way that they should go. None of us have done it perfectly, and none of us will do it perfectly. But can I tell you, there is nothing else in this world that is more important than this. What? How big a house you have, how great you grow your business, how much money you make, what kind of name you make for yourself, none of those things are wrong and bad in and of themselves. But if you miss this, your highest priority is training up your children in the way that they should go. So this is real simple this morning. We have one objective when it comes to homeschooling our children, when it comes to training them up. Our objective is dedication to Christ. We want them to be dedicated to Christ. But before we can dedicate them to Christ, we have to dedicate ourselves to Christ. Now, when you see that word in the King James Version that says train up, the Hebrew word for train up in the King James Version has been translated four other times as the word dedicate. Dedicate. And it literally means, if you look up the Strong's Concordance definition of that word, it literally means properly to narrow, Figuratively, it is to initiate or discipline. And the idea is simply this, that our goal as parents is to channel our children's life in such a way that they know what it means to follow Christ and to abstain from evil. That we literally channel or funnel or direct or discipline or initiate that children's focus towards, that child's focus towards Christ and away from ungodliness. And I want to say it again, before you can make it an objective for them, before you say, I'm going to dedicate my children to Christ, you got to dedicate yourself to Christ. In fact, most of what this service is about, now we're going to pray over these kids. We're going to anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. We're going to dedicate them to Christ, to the service of His kingdom. But I'm here to tell you, before you can do that literally and really and actually to your children, you have to dedicate yourself. Before you can make it an objective for them, you have to make it an objective for yourself. Dedicate you, then dedicate them. Because if it's not important to you, it will not be important to them. I see this in a lot of houses, and I'm not opposed to it. I think it's good for us to be reminded. In Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, when they had conquered the promised land, and Joshua warned them, you know, he knew what was ahead for them. By the way, Judges follows the book of Joshua, and Judges proves they did not do this. They said the words, but they did not do what Joshua told them to do. He said for them to choose who they would serve. And the last part of that is the one that we see, that I see on plaques in people's houses. Hobby Lobby's probably made $1 million out of that one saying all by itself. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's a good saying. It's a better doing. But understand what he said there. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve. Me comes before we. Dedicate self before you dedicate child. First me, then we. So I got a question to ask. Where are you at right now in your spiritual life? Where are you at right now in your spiritual life? In your level of dedication to Christ, where are you at right now? And then I want you to just kind of jump forward and take a look down the road. Where you are now, and I want you to think about where your kids are going to be when they're your age. And just ask yourself this question, do I want my kids to be in the same place that I am now at my age? That's a little bit of a frightened thought, isn't it? Now, I say this, I've been blessed in a lot of ways, and I promise you it ain't because I did everything perfectly. But I was a hellion until I was 27 years old, and I'm thankful my kids didn't put me through the hell I put my mom and daddy through. They were actually better Christians than I was in their 20s, and I'm grateful for that. That is a tremendous blessing to me. But we just need to take stock of our life and say, listen, I'm 25 years old, I'm 30 years old. Do I want my kids to have the same level of spirituality that I have now, or do I want them to exceed what I have shown to them? Here's what you got to do to dedicate yourself to Christ. Prioritize your spiritual life. Make it number one on your list of things to do. And this is simple, folks, but when I say prioritize your spiritual life, what I mean is your kids have got to see you spend time in prayer. Your kids have got to know that you spend time in the Word of God. Your kids need to see you worshiping, see you giving, see you serving, see you participating in the work of the church and reaching the world. They got to see you in action. That's how you train them up. That's how you dedicate yourself to the Lord. Our children recognize our priorities. They do. And when they see what's important to us, that will become important to them. Secondly, our objective is dedication to Christ, but our methodology is direction from God's Word. Train up a child in the way that he should go. The Word of God shows us the way to God. It shows us the will of God, and it reveals to us the work of God in the world. Somebody said the Bible is our roadmap for living, basic instructions before leaving earth. It tells us how we ought to live our life, what the will of God is, what the work of God is, how God wants us to walk this way. And I can tell you the Bible is infallible. It is inerrant, it is immutable, it is not changing, it will not change. And everything that it teaches, it is accurate. Amen. We are not capable of finding out His way, our own way. We read a verse in Sunday school this morning, and I'm going to read to you again from Deuteronomy. By the way, this is before they went into the promised land. This is the Hebrew people still. This is the Shema passage. This is what they're supposedly supposed to teach and instruct and train all of their children. Now, they failed through the ages at taking it to heart, but they still repeat these words. In verse chapter 6, verse 6, "These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." You understand what he is saying is the Word of God has to be the central, paramount, most important part of your life as people. You got to go to the book and see what God said. See if it's His way. See if it's His will. See if it's His work. We aren't capable of finding out His way, our way. And neither are our kids. And I want you to listen very carefully. There are church kids today. There are kids that are being raised in church today that do not know the biblical standards of sexuality. There are kids that are here in this building this morning who believe that homosexuality is okay. Now, I'm just being blunt with you this morning, but I'm telling you, we're raising a generation of kids who do not know what the Bible says about morality, about right and wrong, about what God expects out of our lives, because it has not been taught. And there are people that are given more credibility to the textbooks and school than they are to this never-changing book that God has handed us down. Can I tell you, those textbooks change almost every year? They're constantly adapting to the culture and to the environment that we're living in. History in many ways is being rewritten even. But you understand what I'm telling you? This book is unchanging and unchangeable. It'll stand when the world is on fire. It'll stand when every other book has been burnt. The Word of God will stand. And we got to get our morals, we got to get our values, we got to understand who God is and what God expects by taking the book and knowing the book, getting our direction from the book. And, it's sad that there are so many kids that are being raised today that don't believe in any moral absolutes. They don't believe there's absolute, that there are moral values that are absolute and unchanging because they've never been taught truth according to God's Word. That's our job. Our objective is for that we dedicate ourselves to Christ, that we dedicate our children to Christ, and that we get our instruction, our direction from the Word of God. Parents have to know the book. You got to know the book. You got to study the book. You got to believe the book. You got to apply the book, and you got to teach the book. And you do that not just with your words. You do that with your example. So what way are you teaching right now? Are you teaching your way or are you teaching God's way? Here's what was required of us, that we make God's way our way. Psalm chapter 119, verse 9 says, "Wherewithal, how shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." One of the most popular verses in Psalm 119, the 105th verse, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet." That is, it shows me what's right in front of me. It shows me what's the next step that I need to take. How do I make this decision? Your word is a lamp unto our feet, and it is a light to my path. It shines out and helps me shape my life. Dedicate yourselves to Christ. Get your direction from the Word of God. And finally, our reward is this. When we do these things, we build disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are We are journeymen or masters, and we are training apprentices. And when we dedicate ourselves to Christ and we get our directions from the Word of God, we create disciples of Christ. 3 John, the 4th verse, John said, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." I know what John meant, because I can tell you, my kids have done well. They've exceeded me in so many areas. But the thing that thrills me more than anything else in this world is that my children are walking in His truth. Whatever else they do with their life, I'm happy with, I'm proud of them for, but nothing exceeds that. Don't you want to see your children loving Jesus, serving Jesus, sharing Jesus with others? Well, you have to ask yourself, what are they seeing you do now? Because that's what you're training them to be. That's what you're training them to do. And if you want to claim the promise of Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, make absolutely sure that you're meeting that provision, that you're training up your children in the way that they should go, so that when they are old, they'll cling to that. Some of them won't ever depart. They won't need to come back. They'll stick to it. They'll take that with them through the rest of their life. Some of them that go astray and drift like I did will come back to that path. But make sure you're doing your part. If you want to claim the promise, meet the provision. And you know what? At the end of all of our lives, the only thing that's really going to matter is what we did with Jesus. That's it. I preached a funeral yesterday of a man 82 years old, and folks, and I remember when he got saved. I remember what kind of life he was living before he got saved. It was a radical conversion. Changed his life inside out. And you know, I sat with a family yesterday that were at, I mean, they literally, I was with them in the hospital and in hospice, and they were saying, "Daddy, it's okay. You don't have to stay with us. You can go home. We're okay with that. We're good with that. And we'll see you there." Man, I'm telling you, you won't get any better than that. To reach the end of your life and say, "I know that this life comes to an end, but we'll be reunited again in eternity forever." We're homeschooling our kids, and what we're teaching them will ultimately lead to their final destination. The challenge today is to make dedication to Christ our objective, to make it our priority, to make the Word of God our method, and then we can rest in the promise that even if they depart, even if they stray, they'll come back to their roots and become disciples of Christ. And that's a reward both here and now, and a reward in the life hereafter. So I'm going to ask our musicians to come this morning. I just feel led to have a moment of invitation before we have our baby dedication. Real simple message this morning. But let me ask you this. Are you ready to dedicate yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ? That's where you got to start. I got to nail it down for me. I got to nail it down for me before I can focus on the we. I've got to know who I am, where I stand, what I intend to do, what's the objective of my life before I can make it my family's objective. Are you ready to train your children in the way they should go by leading them yourself in that way? And then the second part of the invitation is this. Some of you here were raised just like I was, and your parents did their very best to train you up in the way that you should go. And you've got off path. You've taken a wrong way. Can I tell you, you got a mom and daddy just like I did that kneels down by their bed every night and claims the promise of Proverbs 22:6. "Lord, they're astray. Please bring them back. You know the way. You've seen it lived. This will be your opportunity today to come back to that path. Begin to train your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." You say, "Preacher, I don't have any children. All my children are grown." Well, if your grandkids are around, you can be an influence in their life. If you've got nieces, nephews, if there's anybody that you can impact with the gospel around you, don't miss that opportunity to do that. They see what you're dedicated to. They understand what your morals and values are by the way that you live your life. And you can make an impact on somebody for Christ if you dedicate yourself to Him. Let's stand together. Lord, have your way. Do your work in this time of invitation. I'm grateful, Lord, for all those that are here this morning, for children, for adults. And I pray that you would just call us this morning to a place of dedication, that we will narrow the focus of our life, and that we will make our top priority being servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that we will use the Word of God to direct our paths, to show us the way. Tell us who you are, tell us who we are, tell us what we need to be doing, to establish our values and our morals, to create standards, Lord, that will be handed down generation to generation, that are unchanging and unchangeable. Lord, we all want to claim that reward. There's not a person in here that wants to look back at their life and see that they've been a miserable failure. All of us want to reach the end of our life and say we've made disciples of Christ who are loving and serving Jesus and who have a home in heaven. And so right now, this day is the day that we dedicate ourselves. I pray you to have your will and your way in this time of invitation. Somebody here lost, save them. If somebody here is backslidden, bring them back. Somebody here maybe just gotten a little apathetic and indifferent. Revive and restore them, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. You need to come.
Waking up to a new sunrise, looking back from the other side, I can see now with open eyes, darkest water and deep. I wouldn't trade it for anything, 'cause my brokenness brought me to you, and these wounds are a story you'll use. So I'm thankful for the scars, 'cause without them I wouldn't know your heart, and I know standing in confidence with the strength of your faithfulness, and I'm not who I was before. No, I don't have to fear anymore. So I'm thankful for the scars, 'cause without I am faithful.